Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Cannon, with my co-host, Minister Robert Walker, Minister David Clifton, and Minister Ryan. It's good for us to be here. We thank God that we're here on another day. Oh, how good and how blessed it is for brethren dwell together in unity. So it's a blessing to be able to be here and to be able to impart truth, like the Bible says. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So there's nothing like the truth, nothing like the word of God. As the scripture tells us, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. So this is not just an ordinary book, but you have to have the Spirit of God. You have to be born from above to be able to understand Route 66, 39 in the old and 27 in the new. There used to be a show that came on when I was a little boy called Route 66, and that's what this is, 66 books that we're going to help us make it from earth to glory. So today, for my food for thought will be found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But homeowners and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is bought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we thank God for his order that he has, and there's not going to be no them over you watching for your souls if you're not in a local church. that's teaching and preaching the truth. We know that that church began on the day of Pentecost.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Food for thought, Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Very simple, folks. If you want to be saved, you must obey that scripture.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My food for thought, I want to read a excerpt from a book written by Bishop Francis Smith. It's a subject, man's responsibility, and it reads us just one simple paragraph. It says, man was not created as a whim of God. He had a definite purpose in mind. Man's primary responsibility is to reflect the glory of God. That's in Isaiah 43:7. It says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And it goes on to say, he is to behave himself in a more godly fashion than any other part of creation, for he only of created things has the capacity of self-control, decision, and genuine affection towards God. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that you have to live holy unto God. In Ephesians it says, we are his workmanship, and that we should live unto good works as God has ordained unto us. So endeavor to live holy, endeavor to live righteously in the sight of God. Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. This is Brother Walker. My food for thought for the day would be this. The rapture of the church can take place at any time, and it's time that we get ourselves ready to meet God in peace.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for his word, and truly that is true statement that he just made. So that's what was one of our commands was to redeem the time, for the days are evil. So we came in here making up time. We can see the signs of the times. As the song says, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. And we know one of the signs of the coming of the Lord is earthquakes in divers places. And we know that there was another earthquake,
right,
was in China,
right,
that just started, what happened on this week.
Right.
So we can see that, and it's not by happenstance, but I know there are people that think that man has something to do with these earthquakes, but you cannot change the validity of the word of God. God's word is true, just like he said, Isaiah the prophet said, talking about the rain and the snow coming down from heaven, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and it's going to water the earth and the snow and the rain. And he says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall accomplish the thing which I sent it, and it shall prosper in the thing that which I please. So the word of God is going to be fulfilled. His word is not going to return void. So we got to believe the word of God. So we're moving on here in the book of Acts, knowing where the church began. Before these sessions are over, we're going to try, by the grace of God, to tell you the beginning of every religion, when it started, and by who it was started. It began, it was had its beginnings by. But we know what we're talking about here, and it's so simple. And a lot of people wonder about the King James Version of the Bible. And I'm told this, that the King James Version is the closest to the original manuscript. So that's very important. It was in the 1600s when it was wrote. I know people talk about his life and all of that. It doesn't matter, because we sometimes try to condemn God's word because of the way that some men live. But we know initially that the Bible was written by holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God left on record what he wanted to be left on record. And so we can find the beginning of the church. And even in the Old Testament, you don't see the word church, but you see the word. There's one very important word in the Old Testament that can tie right in with the church, and that is the word congregation. Then you go on to the book of Hebrews, you see the word church in the book of Hebrews. But I just wanted to, today, I want to throw this in before we get started about the Mormon church. Mormon church was founded by, in the United States in 1830, by Joseph Smith, who was the individual who found this in the Book of Mormon. And after the death of Joseph Smith, some members of the sect led by Brigham Young established themselves in Utah in 1847. The official leaders being in control of civil as well as religious affairs in this Mormon church, the church is officially known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So we can see, my point is, this church began in the 1800s. The church we're talking about in the book of Acts began on the day of Pentecost. So that's very important. So we can see. So what about all them people that was born before the 1800s?
Right.
You know, during the New Testament time. This shows you this is folly. This church was began by a man.
Just to add on to that, I have done research on the Mormon church, and Joseph Smith, before he became the self-proclaimed prophet of the church, he was enchanters. And he looked for water, and he used stones for looking for water, and he was actually swindling people out of money. And he actually got chased out of quite a few towns in New York where he first lived. And he disappeared off the scene for a little while, and then he reemerged, and he received the Book of Mormon, and apparently an angel, Moroni, descended down and handed him the Book of Mormon and also handed him two stones, just as he was doing before, enchanting with stones. He received two stones, which he called the Urim and the Thummim, taking it directly out of the Old Testament, misusing that scripture. And he had his wife interpret what he was saying. But he got the vision from God to translate the language that the Book of Mormon was apparently written in, and his wife would translate it into English, and that's how they wrote that English version. No one's ever seen the Book of Mormon. That the there were gold plates. No one ever saw those gold plates but him. So he believed that Jesus Christ came over here for us, that this is our testament over here, that's why we have the Book of Mormon, and that the Bible is for Oriental customs and Middle Eastern customs, which is complete folly, as Elder Cannon said. So, once again, if you look, all the prophecies that failed by this man, all the prophecies that failed by his leaders, all the debauchery that he was doing within the congregation, picking up young girls, the bigamy, all that came. It's not of God. It's not the church.
Amen.
And yes. It's not the order that God set for the church.
Right. Yeah. And then right here, there's no scripture of the Bible is of any private interpretation. So 2 Peter, the first chapter, 15th verse, Peter said, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." That was one of the things I said about being an apostle. You had to be an eyewitness. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from him from excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart, day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's, I'm stabbing a death lick into the heart of that foolishness that this church supposedly began with this man. That's foolishness. The church began on the day of Pentecost, the church that Jesus Christ established.
Yes.
And in knowing that he said, and the prophet Joel prophesied, and Peter spoke of that when he preached on the day of Pentecost, and it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And we know a lot of these brethren, so-called church brethren, they don't believe that this kind of man and that kind of man can be in their church. That's the problem. It ain't God's church. It's their church. So we're telling you about God's church. God said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That means Jew and Gentile, brown and whatever color you are. It don't matter, because the flesh don't profit in nothing no way. That's what Jesus said. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And that's what he came. Like James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. He ain't saving your body no way. He's saving your soul. So your spirit is what's born again. And that's why Nicodemus, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then he was saying, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or where there it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we're born again. Our spirit is what's born again. So we're going to move on here. We left off in the Acts of the Apostles about this lame man at the beautiful gate, and we went on into the fourth chapter, and we actually ended up in the 31st verse, but I want to start off here a little before that. The 26th verse in Acts chapter 4, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. This is a prayer. Now behold, there are threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And for some of you that don't understand, they didn't get saved again. They just got refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Like Isaiah says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So they got refreshed in the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says, be not, in the book of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's just saying, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So in other words, you'll let the Spirit guide you, lead you. You'll let the Spirit direct you. You'll let the Spirit rule you and not your own flesh. So we're moving on here. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said they, any of them, that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And a sidebar right here. This is not saying that we got to do this nowadays. That this is what they decided to do. You can do what you want, but there's no command for it. Because some people have started that stuff even in days past where they, you know, they got a so-called place. People got saved and were selling peanuts and doing all kinds of stuff. That's not God. But you do what you want. But these people have so much love in their heart. This is what they decided to do. So whatever we do, we got to be truthful in what we do. So we're going to see here as we go on in, into the fifth chapter here. And yes.
And let me add this also into it. Another thing that we have running through the churches nowadays is they will reference to this scripture, you know, when the preacher, the so-called preacher is preaching, and people will run up to the pulpit and they will begin to throw money at these men's feet. And then after the service, the preacher will collect that money, and he will leave the church and go do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to, you know, buy himself some new gaiters or a new suit or what have you. The problem with that is not what was happening here in this scripture. They took that money and they distributed it to those that were in need. So that's a problem that I have with a lot of these brothers and a lot of these pastors. We all hear the saying that they're fleecing the sheep. I have a problem with the man that is always taking up these offerings and receiving this money, and then he's using it for himself, and he's not doing what the scripture, what they said they were doing in the scripture. So again, you have people, and this is the problem that we have nowadays. You have people, and they will take a scripture, and they will lift it up out of its context. What that means is they won't go where the thought starts, and they won't go where it ends, but they will take a certain scripture up, lift it up out of a context, and then they will use it. And for those that are unlearned in the scriptures, they don't know what that scripture actually means. So then they will tell you, oh, no, it's nothing wrong with me taking this money. It's in the Bible. And then they will read a scripture, but they won't read it in its proper context. So now you have people will say, well, the Bible has to be right, and he gave me a scripture, so it must be right. But again, knowing, and this is a phrase that you will hear us say a lot, is right division of the word. In rightly dividing a word, you have to use scriptures in their proper context to get the full meaning and the right meaning of what God intended for those scriptures. Amen?
Yes. Let me say this. It goes back to what you said earlier, Elder Cannon, in reference to, I use the King James Bible myself. That's what I use. And I think we should use the King James version of the Bible. I think what's more important, though, is that the Word of God has to be rightly divided. And so whatever version you use of the Bible, and I think you should use the King James version of the Bible, but what's more important is that the Word of God has to be rightly divided by men with the Holy Ghost or women with the Holy Ghost. And the problem that we have today is people are trying to interpret the Word of God without the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And you cannot speak the mind of God without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Exactly.
And if I could, let me add on real quick. I'll be brief here. In dealing with the different translations of the Bible, there's a lot of people, one of the most popular ones that I hear besides the King James Version is the NIV,
the New
International Version.
Right.
I have no problems with that Bible, and I'll tell you why. What you have with different translations is the words will be changed so that someone can easily read the scriptures. What is not changed is the context or the interpretation of the scripture.
Yes.
The words are changing, and the way that I can relate it back when I was in grammar school, we used to have to read those Romeo and Juliet type plays and come hither thou, and it used those old English words.
Yes.
For some people, it's hard for us to understand that.
Yes.
So you have different translations, and what they do is they don't change the meaning of the scriptures. They just change the words to assist you in your reading. The problem comes in where you have people like the Mormons, who besides the King James, they have their own Bible. You have those of Jehovah's Witnesses that they will read the King James, but they also have their own book.
Yeah.
What they do, Jehovah's Witnesses version of their Bible, what they do is they will add words or they will take words out to change the actual meaning of what the scripture is.
Right.
That is the error. So, again, we're not knocking anyone that doesn't use the King James Version.
Right.
But just make sure that the Bible that you're reading is not changing the interpretation or the context of the scriptures, because that's where you will fall in error.
Yeah. But you're going to change the meaning. I hate to go there, but you're going to change the meanings of these words if you do not have the mind of God in the first place.
And
yeah.
Many times men that want to write their own Bibles want to create their own doctrine.
Amen.
So they will make their own interpretation of what the Bible says and what the Greek and the Hebrew words mean, and they don't speak Hebrew or Greek.
Amen.
And they just want to make their own interpretation because they want what they're saying to fit along with the scriptures, and they want to take the scriptures, like Minister Clifton said, out of their context. So
yeah.
You have to be careful of that, of somebody that writes their own Bible,
mm-hmm.
that they're not changing the interpretation and changing the meaning of the words and meaning of the scriptures.
Yes, because it's only the truth when it's rightly divided.
Amen.
And I don't see what is so hard about the King James Version, especially the old notes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's so hard about that? Because even the new translation, the new King James Version Bible, if you have someone stand up and do responsive reading, the words are different
mm-hmm.
in the old and in the new.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe, I just can't help but that saying that Elder Johnny James says, some people are explaining the Bible away.
Right.
And they really are doing that.
Right.
So we thank God. That's what we're endeavoring to do, is to tell the truth.
Yeah.
There used to be a show on years ago, was to tell the truth, and they would have people to get up and testify. My name is so-and-so. My name, everybody would have the same name. So at the end of the show, they would say, well, the real so-and-so, please stand up. So you have to be listening close. So this is the truth when it's rightly divided. And that's what's so, and we got to understand that the truth is in Jesus. It's not in none of these other men that want to be the founder and the so-called honorable whoever. You ain't. If you ain't in Jesus, and you got to be in Jesus to have any honor, as far as that part goes, in the spiritual world.
Amen.
So we thank God as we move on here in the fifth chapter of Acts. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part. And laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Question, he asked, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And so we got to be honest in everything that we do. So they conspired together about this land. It was theirs. They could do what they want with it. So but the point being, they lied. And so the Lord gave this to the man of God, the Apostle Peter. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much.
Yes.
Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they which were with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst not no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were added, were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. But look at what the apostles were doing here. These folks want to try to claim that they are apostles. Nowadays, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. I mean, you can't take this upon yourself to call yourself an apostle. You call yourself whatever you want. I say you ain't. Bible say you ain't. Not you're not, you ain't. You ain't no apostle. I mean, that was a tremendous job that came along with being an eyewitness or being an apostle. Like we were saying, we were taught, we searched the scriptures out. And even those who have our fathers, like the Bible, Apostle Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. And he went on to let them know, I have begotten you through the gospel. So you don't have many fathers. So you're teaching it. This is the same scenario. It's the same standard that they've done even back under the law of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy when he was saying, teach it to thy sons and to thy son's sons. Mm-hmm. So truth is passed down.
Yes.
Everybody's saying the same thing.
So we know that there's no apostles. The apostles' signs and wonders followed behind them wherever they went. So if signs and wonders aren't following behind you, and you weren't an eyewitness of Jesus Christ, there's no way that you can call yourself an apostle in this day. So it is a bogus claim. Anybody that calls himself an apostle in this day, they aren't setting up any sort of foundation in the world. The foundation has already been set with the scriptures. So there's so many scriptures against what these men are claiming that there's no way that they can call themselves that in this day.
Right. Because, see, you have to understand biblical terminology. Another term of an apostle is one that's sent forth.
Mm-hmm.
They were sent forth by the Lord himself. I mean, last is last. It's like Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, and he said, and last of all he was seen of me. Last of all is last of all. Apostle Paul was the last apostle. Now, the Lord really dealt with this man. And this man was, he even said that he labored more abundantly than all the rest of them. But he said, yet not I, but it was the grace of God that was with me. So this man laid down his life for the Lord. And we can see, as we're going to go on here in the scriptures, that he was the last of the apostles. So I just don't understand. That's not making you more important because you're getting a name in yourself with a title. Really, you got more. You're putting more on you if you want to look at it that way, to take that responsibility. What comes along with having a title like that? So we see here as we go on. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. They were healed, every one. And going back to what he was saying, and look at how these people, the Lord was using them and fulfilling his word, just like he said. And so nowadays, folk, they ain't telling you, oh, yeah, bring so-and-so out of the hospital if they're sick or out of the convalescent home. No, they're telling you to bring an offering. And that's foolishness, because that's the stuff we done when we were out in the bars. We went to the bars and try to put a dollar down in somebody's whatever they had on at the bar.
Amen.
Throwing money at them. And that's what we done there.
Right.
I mean, this is foolishness, what they're doing. What's wrong with the offering when the church officials receive the offering? You throwing down, and that's just like I've seen at the church where I was. When you think back on things, people coming up, falling down on their knees before the pastor, I mean, he should have had the gall to tell them to stand up like Apostle Peter told Cornelius to stand up, that I'm a man.
Right.
So that some stuff is just not right. The little leaven the whole lump, like they said. So we can see how God's word was being fulfilled in verse 16. says those that were vexed with unclean spirits, or those as devils, demons, call them what you want, and they were healed, every one. They were troubled. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But I want to stop right there. And Jesus really showed these people out. Because just like he said, they were full of dead men's bones. They was out in the streets, appeared unto men to fast. The garments that they wore, the way they were looking. Just like they said, the Sadducees, they says, because they were sad. You see? And they were. And so Jesus, he didn't play. When he came on the scene, he didn't reason with no devil. He cast them out. He told them to hold their peace, that they should not make him known. You know, they even said that we know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? So we can see who he was. And they knew who he was. So what's wrong with y'all nowadays? You don't want to believe Jesus? Though, how is it that someone else is more important than Jesus? You are representing someone. You're not more important than they are. Like the Bible says, we then are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Amen. And our message is, as the apostles and Paul, when he wrote in 2 Corinthians there, he said, be ye reconciled to God. I'm not important. We're not important, but the Lord is. So in the local church, you're going to get what you need if you come on and get saved. And that is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. So we can see here the high priest rose up in the sect of the Sadducees and were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And the answer is, why did they do that? Because they were mad. Because they were showing them out. Because look what they were doing. They were healing people. They were casting out devils. They were doing just like the word of God said that they would do by the hands of the apostles. Those were miracles. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And sometimes we got to understand the angel of the Lord literally in certain circumstances means the Lord himself. Because we can see even when in the book of Revelation twice when the Apostle John was going to fall down at the feet of the angel that showed him all these things that were going to come to pass. And he said, don't you do it. I'm of your fellow brethren and of the prophets. Worship God. So we know that we're worshiping God. When they had heard it, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught the apostles. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and of the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them bought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. But when the captain went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. But when they had bought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, the high priest, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name, the name of Jesus, that is? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. So remember we said that we let you know in Hebrews 4 and 12, the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
Piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So you can't get away. Then stood up one of the council, in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So look at here what how God destroyed these men.
Right.
So that were trying to rise up against his men, the men of God, the apostles,
right,
were teaching what he had told them to teach.
Mm-hmm. And what Gamaliel was telling them, that if these men continue to preach this, God will take care of them if they're not preaching the truth. But if God be with them, then they will continue to flourish, and there's nothing you can do against them anyway.
Yeah.
So let them be. And the Sadducees were mad and upset because these men were preaching Jesus and the resurrection, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So that's why they were bringing them before the council. That's why they were trying to bring charges against them, because they did not believe in the resurrection. And that is exactly what the apostles teach, because that is our hope, is the resurrection.
Yeah,
and so when they said that you try to bring this man's blood upon us, when you preach in the name and you preach the resurrection in the name and you preach baptism in the name, you're preaching the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And that blood was shed by the high council and the high priest and his council,
yes,
which were made up of the Sadducees. So they were directly, these men took tradition and took their own learning, and they were opposing God, really, because this is God's knowledge that these men were preaching. This was God's commandments that these men were preaching, and they were coming up against that, thinking themselves to be righteous in God's eyes,
right,
but they were really unrighteous.
Amen.
Yes, and it's the messenger that people want to take issue with, but it's the message. The messenger is bringing forth the message, and the message is Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the message of Jesus. And so now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. Just like our minister Thompson just said, if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. Just like that play that they had out years ago says, your arms are too short to box with God. You're going to lose every time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't fight against God.
And let me bring this out at this time. It's a good time to bring this out. As foretold, these Sadducees, they were mad. They arrested these men and locked them up because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. Now understand this. We have the same problem today. And let me explain to you why we have it, or how it is that we have it. You have a lot of people out there professing Christianity,
mm-hmm,
and they are, in a sense, preaching about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They will say that Jesus came in the flesh. They will say he died on a cross. They will say he rose on the third day. They will say that you have to be saved through Jesus Christ, but they don't have understanding of it. But here's the problem. As Minister Fountain said, when you're truly preaching Jesus and when you're applying that blood, you have to teach that remission of sins is also through that name. As
yes,
we read earlier in chapter 4, the Bible says that there is salvation in no other name.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
So what we have going on nowadays is people are preaching, they're healing, okay? They are healing people. They are casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Remember, there's going to be a group of people that goes to him and says, Lord, Lord.
Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not heal sick in your name? They did do that. So they're reasoning with him. Did we not do this in your name?
Yes.
Even though they did it, he told them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity.
Right. I never knew you.
What is it that they were doing wrong?
Right.
They were not using the lifeline, if you will, with that name through the baptism.
Yeah. Right.
That is the problem that we are having today.
Right.
Is people will believe on that name for everything except for the most important thing. That is salvation. That name has to be applied to you in the baptism. That is how the blood that was shed on the cross is going to be applied to your life. It is through calling that name out, excuse me, through the baptism. So just as in that day they were looked down on because they were preaching in that name, we as apostolic men and women are being looked upon as some people will call us a cult.
Yes.
Because of what we're teaching.
Yes.
But we're teaching the same doctrine that these brothers were teaching.
Right.
And let me show you something here. This is a message to all those that may have pastors, or if any pastors are listening, or bishops, or whatever other title you carry. If you're letting these people that don't have the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the apostles, you are in error. The second book of John, He says to them, whosoever transgresses abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds.
Right. Yes.
So I don't care if they are, if they do say that they believe in Christ, if they don't believe in the baptism, if they're not believing in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, they're not preaching the doctrine of Christ, you should not allow these men in your pulpits to preach. And the Bible says that if you bid them Godspeed, you give them a blessing, you are a partaker of their evil deeds. So now he's saying if you're not preaching salvation by this name, that it's an evil deed. Amen?
Yes,
amen.
Yes. So that's the thing. Even for those of you that say you have the Holy Ghost, well, the Holy Ghost came to lead you to the water.
Mm.
So if you have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, then you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And this is just, I want to bring out the point that in 1 John 5, and I believe verse 8 or 9, that he says that there's three things in the earth that agree in one,
mm-hmm.
the blood, the water, and the spirit.
Yes.
So the blood and the water have to be in agreement. If you get baptized and it's not in that name, you don't have the blood. The blood and the water is not in agreement at that point.
Yes.
So you have to have the name with the water to be in agreement, and along with that, you also get the spirit. So if you have the Holy Ghost, like Elder Cannon said, and don't have the blood and the water together, then you're not in agreement, you're not in harmony with God. And that is where the baptism lies. It's all one baptism, as Paul says, that there's one baptism, and they all agree in one, the blood, the water, and the spirit all agree in one baptism.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I just want to, those of you that may be listening on Facebook, our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Yes, so you got to know that the one baptism is water and spirit.
Amen.
Like he said, except a man be born again. So you got to be born of water and of the spirit. He didn't say the water.
Mm-hmm.
So that letting you know. The water, just like the eunuch said unto Philip, he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? But we know that there's only one spirit. So you could be born, you could be baptized in the river. Like somebody said they wanted to be baptized. Someone said where the water was running. So this old minister, he's going on to be with the Lord. He said they wanted to be baptized where the water was running. He said, it's all running. He said, you just got it stopped up.
Mm-hmm.
That's running too. Right? We got out there, but it's just stopped up.
Amen.
So we thank God we have the word. There is no excuse. And I thank God for a modern day baptismal. Because folks, they had to tiptoe around rattlesnakes when they got baptized in those rivers. You didn't know what was going on. So but you got to do it the way that God says. That is, you got to be totally immersed in water in the name of Jesus. And that's where the blood is applied, when the name of Jesus is called.
And if I could, just real quick, I don't want to fast forward too far, but Elder Cannon said before to all of you out there that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, there is a witness in the scriptures, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when the door was opened to the Gentiles, Brother Cornelius and his household, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost first. So he had the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, Brother Peter told him in the book of Acts, and here's another way to shoot down that baptism is just an outward showing, or it's just an ordinance, or something that you can or cannot do. It's not an option. After the house of Cornelius received the Holy Ghost, in Acts chapter 10, number 48, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. But baptism is a commandment, and it is a completion of the new birth. Jesus taught the new birth in John chapter 3, and he said that you have to be born of water and spirit, not just the water, not just the spirit and water being an option, but both of them. So that will complete your new birth. And we see that the baptism is a commandment. It's not an option.
Right.
Again, it's in that the blood is applied to your life. The blood does not apply to your life just because Jesus shed it on the cross. You have to apply it to your life. When that plague ran through Egypt, it only passed over the homes that had the blood on their doorpost.
Mm-hmm.
The blood had to be applied to your doorpost for that plague to pass over. If the blood hadn't been applied, they could have been behind that door pleading the blood all they want. But if it wasn't applied, it had no power there.
Right.
So we can translate that to the baptism. You can plead the blood and confess the blood all you want, but you need to apply it to your lives, brothers and sisters.
Yes, and you got to have the blood, which is in the name of Jesus. And even like Minister Clifton was saying, but you go back even to the second chapter of Acts. They were filled with the Holy Ghost before they got baptized too.
Amen.
So that's why you go on to the 38th verse, and then the 41st verse is where they that gladly received his word, they were baptized in the name of Jesus, like Peter commanded them to do. So the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, will lead you to the water. Just like it led the children of Israel to the water, the Spirit will lead you to the water. And I got baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't come up in this way. But if you truly repent and you believe the gospel, then you're not going to be arguing about how that sounds. You keep talking about, thank you, Jesus. He's my Savior. And you don't want to go down in the name of Jesus. That doesn't even make sense. That's like if somebody wants to, a bride wants to marry a husband and she's telling him up front that she don't want his name. I don't know if he would want her. He got to really think about that. Like, I don't know if I want you. You don't want my name? You're telling God you don't want his name.
That's right.
Like they say, you don't tell God no. You want to say yes to the Lord. So here we can see here, as we read on here, they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And I would say that devil is a fool. You're going to be beat for the name of Jesus? Well, yeah, that's what Jesus said. They were going to be persecuted for his name's sake. So what foolishness to show you how ignorant the high priest and all of them were back then. You're going to beat them because they're preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus? What I say to you, shame on you.
And
they were, yeah.
And to add on to that, that's really just adding on to their testimony because when they beat them, they're just fulfilling what Jesus told them.
Yes.
And they were rejoicing in the fact that they got beaten and they got persecuted for the name of Jesus because that just proved Jesus right even more.
Yes.
Right.
And then that shows you that's folly about that group of people that was mad because somebody drew a cartoon of their leader. Hey, talk about Jesus. Call him whatever you want and crucify us. Because the more you crucify him, the more he's going to be glorified.
Amen.
So take your liberty. Crucify him. Smash him. Talk about him. Call us whatever you want. You're glorifying him more. We open the door for you to do it. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So they suffering this for his name's sake, just like he said. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that throws another death lick to that one church out in California and the one in Georgia. They never preach. All they do is teach. And they explaining the word of God away, and you know who they are. And so, shame on you. So, even Jesus, you got to look closely in the Gospels, but he said that I got to leave this town's where he was, because he says, I got other cities that I must preach. He didn't just teach. He was a great teacher, but he was a preacher too. And I imagine he didn't throw his head back and say yes and tell you to say something to your neighbor either. But he preached the word of God, because that's who he was.
Let me add this, brothers. It's in Philippians 1:29. It says, for unto you
yes.
it is given
on the behalf
in the
of Christ.
Behalf of Christ.
Yes.
Not only to believe on him,
yes.
but also to suffer for his sake.
Yes, sir.
I think, let me add this also. I think that's why so-called gospel music is not really gospel music unto Jesus Christ, because
mm-hmm.
if it was really about Jesus Christ, a lot of those gospel, so-called gospel singers would be suffering then. And
mm-hmm.
those seem to be suffering to me. They seem to be making a lot of money.
Right. Yes, because they threw the name out.
They threw the name
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they don't have it in the country.
What's that one? Our pastor, it's all about you.
Yeah.
The one talking about all about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the you?
Yeah.
It's not Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, this gospel music stuff is not really gospel music unto Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah, because I've heard this one family, the sister and the brother, they got a whole album. They ain't saying Jesus not one time.
Not one time.
And shame on you. You're making money, and you're not even talking about the name of Jesus. I mean, that's so sad, because it's about him. We live and move and have our being in him, talking about Jesus. Why are we ashamed to say it? And so even like during, it's amazing how you hear on talk shows and everything, so-called Good Friday, and folks talking about have a happy Easter and all that. I mean, we celebrate the resurrection every day. We're celebrating the resurrection right now. I'm glad he got up. Matter of fact, he got up in my soul.
Right.
So I'm glad about it. I ain't got to wait till no one time a year.
That's right.
And jelly beans and chocolate bunnies and boiled eggs and all that stuff. Matter of fact, those are good too. Everything in its own place. You know, it's just so it's such folly for people to do all of this stuff. That they do in the name of making money is what it's all about. And you can fault one thing that a lot of this stuff came out of, and that was that Catholic Church.
Yes, sir.
It's just like the so-called Mass for Christ, which is Christmas, came out of the Catholic Church. He don't need a Mass. So it's just a shame. A lot of stuff that came forth have nothing to do with the Lord at all. And they're trying to hide all this stuff that they had been right in the first place. They would have been having all the problems that they have. At least folks could have got married anyway, if nothing else. So we see how you do when you err, just like Jesus told them that they do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. So there's only one way to do it. So we know it's in the name of Jesus that we have salvation, that we have baptism, that we pray, that we perform marriage ceremonies, that everything that we do, like Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, he said, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by. And we thank God our time is far spent on the day and it's gone. But we'd like to thank you for listening to Truth Ministry, and hope this word has been a blessing to you. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.